This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
One of the greatest commandments in our religion, in fact, a commandment that some of the scholars said is the greatest of all of the commandments that we have in our religion, is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy for us to do. Because it is one that we can accomplish even just with the heart. It's one that we can accomplish sitting or standing. It's one that we can accomplish whether in wudu or outside of the state of wudu. And yet Allah considers it the greatest or of the greatest acts of worship for the servant. And this is the worship of remembering Allah, of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of glorifying Allah azza wa jal. That our tongues and our hearts are in the constant movement in the love and in the praise of our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. That those who remember Allah, often men and women, that Allah has prepared for them His forgiveness and a great reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects us or reminds us of the importance of remembering Him, particularly after acts of worship. And so after the attendance of Jumu'ah, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go out into the world and seek the provision of your Lord, the bounty of your Lord, and remember Allah often so that you may be successful. And after the rites and the rituals of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. That when you complete these rites and rituals, then remember Allah as you used to remember your forefathers. أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا, or even more intensely remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Arabs would sit around and talk about their tribe and sing poetry about their tribe and their bloodline and all their history and all that they had done, Allah says, no, after you finish these rites of Hajj, you sit and you remember Allah. And you say words of poetry about Allah. And you praise Allah. And you engage your heart in this constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is incredibly important for us to think about. We have been instructed to engage in this when we finish our prayer. We've been instructed to engage in the remembrance of Allah when we enter the masjid, when we exit the masjid, when we awake and when we sleep, when we eat and when we finish eating. He instructed us that when we enter this world, it is performed upon us. And when we leave this world, the remembrance of Allah is performed upon us. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ وَأَزْكَاهَا عِنْدَ مَلِيكِكُمْ وَأَرْفَعُهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ. The Prophet said to the companions, shall I not inform you of the action that is the best and it is the most pure in the sight of your owner, your king subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the thing that will raise your status the most. وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِنْفَاقِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ, and it is better than even giving gold and silver in charity. وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْ تَلْقُوا الْعَدُوَ فَتَضْرِبُوا أَعْنَاقَهُمْ وَيَضْرِبُوا أَعْنَاقَكُمْ. And it's better even than if you were to go into war and you strike the neck of your enemy and they strike your necks. They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah, what is this thing that is so amazing? That is better than giving gold and silver, better than fighting for the sake of Allah, that is the most pure in the sight of your Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, قَالَ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He said, it is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the different ways the Prophet ﷺ glorifies and signifies the greatness of this action that can be taken with you just sitting down, moving your tongue and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr is a sign of iman. This movement of the tongue, this engagement of the heart and the soul, it's a sign of iman, a sign of relationship, a sign of a desire to remember the one subhanahu wa ta'ala, to think of him lovingly, to sing His praises. When we love people in this world, this is what we do. We think about them. We think about them. They come upon our mind. We sing their praises. We remember them. Should that not be in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. He said, the example of the one who remembers his Lord and the one who does not remember his Lord is the example of the one who is alive and the one who is dead. Because this is the reality. The one who remembers Allah is alive. He has a spiritual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who does not remember Allah azza wa jalla, he is spiritually dead. And this is why this remembrance of Allah is so important. This is why it is the greatest deed. This is why it is the most pure in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is the link in the relationship between you and between your Creator. And this is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, أَذِّكْرُ لِلْقَلْبِ مِثْلُ الْمَاءِ لِلْسَّمَكِ فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ حَالَ السَّمَكِ إِذَا فَارَقَ الْمَاءِ. He said that dhikr, the remembrance of Allah in relation to the heart, is like water in relation to the fish. He said, so how will the fish be if it is departed away from its water? The fish is going to wither and die. Its life is gone. Likewise, the life of the heart is gone when it's not immersed. Think about it, the fish is immersed in the depth of water. There's water all around it. The heart has to be immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has to be immersed in this connection to Allah azza wa jalla. This is why when a man came to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, inna shara'i' al-Islam qad kathurat alayhi. He said, O Messenger of Allah, the commandments of the religion are too many for me. There's too many things to do. Fasting and prayer and tahajjud and this and giving charity. He said, there's too many things, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. He said, Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin atashabbat bi. He said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me something I can do that I can just cling on to. There's too much things to do. Just tell me one thing I can just hold on to and cling on to. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yazalu lisanak rataban min dhikrillah. He said, leave your tongue constantly immersed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That your tongue is just drowning in the remembrance of Allah azza wa jalla. If there's one thing to hold on to, it's as if this man is telling the Prophet, tell me one thing I can hold on to. And he tells him, just remember Allah constantly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us as well of the miracles, is the Isra and Mi'raj, is our Prophet's ascension into the heavens. And he meets with our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, I met our father Ibrahim and he said, Ya Muhammad, iqra' ummatika minni salam. He said, O Muhammad, convey my salam to your ummah. And he said, to him, wa akhbiruhum anna al-jannah tayyibat at-turba. Udhbat al-ma' wa innaha qi'an. He said, and inform your ummah, inform your ummah that paradise is the most pure of all the soil, and it is the sweetest of all the water, and it is the fertile land. And you think about this description of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's telling you Jannah is the most pure of soil, and it is the fertile land, and it is the sweetest of water. If someone gave you a piece of land and he gave you the best soil, but maybe the land underneath of it is dead, so even if you put nice soil on top of it, nothing's going to grow. And in order for something to grow, you need water. So he gives you the soil, and he gives you the water, and he gives you the land. You have all the ingredients to plant, except one thing that's missing. You need the seeds. You have the land, you have the soil, you have the water, you need to plant the seeds. So he said, وَأَخْبِرُهُمْ أَنَّ غِيْرَاسَهَا Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. He said, and tell them that the seeds of Jannah are these words of remembrance of Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, and Allahu akbar. That every time we're saying this, we are accumulating the seeds that we are able to plant for ourselves in paradise. The one who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is building his next life, building his akhirah. And so his soul is alive and well, knowing what is awaiting for him in the next life. And the one who does not remember Allah, he's ruining the next life and he's also ruining this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. Ibn Qayyim, he said about this verse, he said, if there was no other verse in the Quran, no other hadith, nothing that was revealed to us about the importance of remembering Allah other than these two words, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me, I'll remember you. He said, this is enough. This is enough for the person to remember Allah constantly. He said, why? You remember Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember you. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you in relation to your wealth. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you in relation to your health. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you in relation to your family. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you and honor you and raise your status. Allah says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah about the disbelievers. They forgot Allah, so Allah neglected them. He left them alone to fall into their confusion, into their sins. What greater punishment is there than being neglected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what greater reward can there be than being remembered and mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When they forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they forgot the ability to pursue good deeds, for Allah to respond to their dua, for the protection of Allah against calamities. And on the other hand, you see our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُرُدُّ اللَّهُ دُعَاءَهُمْ, that there's three types of people Allah will never reject their dua. And the first one he mentions, أَذَّاكِرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, the one who remembers Allah often, the one who is often remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Jawzi, he mentions a story, an interesting story, that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala once was traveling. And in his travels, he went to a masjid and wanted to pray the night and rest in the masjid. So after the Fajr prayer in the night, he's praying and there's a guard who wants to lock the gates of the masjid. So he tells him, you have to leave. And he tries to extend his stay and wait there and keeps praying. And the guard keeps telling him, you have to leave. And Imam Ahmad, he wants to sleep there as well and rest. But the guard wants to kick him out. And so he keeps trying to delay, and the guard keeps telling him to leave. Finally, the guard grabs him, drags him to the door, throws him out, locks the door. Realize Imam Ahmad is traveling. So the guard doesn't know who he is. There's no photographs and pictures of who Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is. So he just thinks he's a normal person, average person. So he grabs him and throws him out of the masjid to lock the doors. And as this is happening, there's a baker walking on the way to his bakery. And he sees this man being shoved out of the masjid and the doors of the masjid being locked. And the baker's on his way to prepare the baked goods because soon people will go pray Fajr and then they're going to go want to buy their bread. So he sees this happening, so he tells Imam Ahmad, he says, just come with me, my bakery is over here, you can rest in my bakery. So Imam Ahmad goes with the baker. And he accompanies the baker. He sees the baker while he's making the flour and making the food. And he sees that constantly this man is remembering Allah. Throughout this entire time that he's with him, this man is saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. He's constantly remembering Allah over and over and over again. And so Imam Ahmad tells him, how long have you been doing this, remembering Allah? He says, for at least 20 years, I've been engaged in this remembrance of Allah, constantly trying to remember Allah in my life. As he's doing the dough, as he's working, he's just constantly remembering Allah. He tells him, well, if you've been doing this for such a long time, 20 years of remembering Allah like this, have you seen any benefit from it? Have you seen any change in your life? Because if you do some, if you worship Allah sincerely, especially for a long period of time, you're going to see benefits in your life. He tells him, have you seen benefits in your life? He tells him, every time I make dua, Allah shows me the answer. Every time I ask Allah for something, Allah shows me the answer. Just like the hadith of our Prophet, that Allah does not reject the dua of the one who calls upon Allah. And then he tells him, but there was one thing I've been asking Allah for I haven't seen, which is that I would love to meet Imam Ahmad. He's read his books, he's heard his teachings, he's heard all of these things. He doesn't know what he looks like, but he's heard of him before. He says, I wish I could meet him. And so Imam Ahmad says, look, Allah has dragged me to you. Allah dragged me by my leg until I came right to you. And this is the blessings of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي, I am what my servant thinks of me to be. I am whatever my slave thinks of me to be. This is an incredible hadith. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ حِينَ يَذْكُرُنِي. And Allah says, and I am with him when he remembers me. فَانْذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتَهُ فِي نَفْسِي. When ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتَهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرًا مِّنْ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi, if he remembers me within himself, I remember him in myself. And if he remembers me in a gathering, I shall remember him in a better gathering. وَإِنْ اِقْتَرَبْ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا اِقْتَرَبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. And if he comes closer to me, a hand span, I will come closer to him in arm's length. And if he comes closer to me in arm's length, I will come closer to him a wingspan. And if he comes comes to me walking, I will go to him running. This is a beautiful, powerful hadith when you think about it. First of all, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servant thinks of me to be. What do you think of Allah Azza wa Jalla? What are your thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think that Allah is merciful? Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous to you? Do you think that Allah will protect you and pardon you and aid you? Or do you think that Allah will abandon you, that He will forsake you? This is a powerful, important question. How you think of Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to dictate your relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be manifest in your own deeds. The one who thinks that Allah will never be merciful to him, this person stops turning to Allah and praying to Allah. The person who thinks that Allah is only punishing and has no mercy whatsoever, this person doesn't even try to turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The person who understands his mercy and his punishment, his power and his generosity, this is the person who is constantly turning to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So how do you think about Allah Azza wa Jalla? Now notice this hadith is very interesting. I am what my servant thinks of me to be. Then it transitions. And it's وَأَنَا مَعَهُ حِينَ يَذْكُرُنِي. I am with him when he makes dhikr of me, when he remembers me. What is the connection between how you perceive Allah and your dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla? And there is a connection there. This transition is so beautiful. This connection is so beautiful. That when you think good of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the evidence of it is that you will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you're not remembering Him in your life, that is an evidence that your conception of Allah Azza wa Jalla itself is flawed. There's a reason you're not remembering Him. If you know Allah properly, if you know Allah as He should be known, then the evidence of it is that you're going to be remembering Him. Because you're going to love Him, so you're going to want to remember Him. So you're going to mention Him. So you're going to praise Him. So you're going to glorify Him. So you're going to seek His forgiveness and His pardon and His mercy. There's a necessary connection between these two ideas. How you think of Allah and then you remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then there's a second transition in this hadith when you think about it. Because it starts talking about dhikr. If He remembers me, I will remember Him. If He remembers me in a group, I will remember Him in a better group. If you remember Allah amongst human beings, Allah will mention your name amongst the angels. But then it transitions again. And it says, and if He comes closer to me, a handspan, I will come closer to Him in arm's length. So now we're talking about closeness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the hadith is transitioning from the remembrance of Allah. So first it's about your conception of Allah, then the remembrance of Allah, then now closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that the method to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is found in remembering Allah azza wa jalla. You want to be closer to Allah? You want to go closer to Him? And He's telling you, if you just come closer to me a little bit, just one hand spent, I will come closer to you the arm's length. You just come to me walking, I will come to you running. How do we get closer to Allah azza wa jalla? It's in the same hadith. It's by remembering Allah azza wa jalla. Being in the constant remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Constantly thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do this, you see the benefits in the dunya and you see the benefits in the hereafter. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you could just ask people to move up if you have space ahead of you, because there are brothers in the back looking for a spot to sit as well. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We are in the days of Tashriq, the days of Eid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about these days, أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله تعالى. He said the days of Tashriq are the days of eating and drinking, meaning it is haram for a person to fast in the day of Eid and the 3 days after it, because these are days of eating and drinking. But also when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says أيام أكل وشرب, the days of eating and drinking, he means the days to feast as well. These are the days to celebrate, the days to have a feast, to do things that are fun with your family, with your kids. It's important for us to do. أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله. The days of eating and drinking and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are commanded, especially in these days, to be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today it is the day of Tashriq, one of the days of Tashriq, and it's also the day of Jum'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when we leave Jum'ah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. So there's a lot of incentive for us to be constantly connected in this remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. And the scholars, they say this, some of the scholars say that the act of dhikr is the greatest form of ibadah, the greatest form of worship. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed the remembrance of Allah is greatest. It is greater. Why? Because it is the true sign of one's connection and one's love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. O you who believe, remember Allah with much remembrance and exalt Him morning and afternoon. And subhanAllah, this is of the beauty of our religion. And the beauty of our religion as well is that when we remember Allah on our deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana akhir kalamuhu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Whoever's last words have been la ilaha illallah, that person will enter paradise. But how do we become the person who says la ilaha illallah on their deathbed? It requires a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It requires a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll tell you, in our own city, this happened to another imam who's a friend of mine, that a family told him, come to our house, our grandmother is going to die, she's on her deathbed. And this imam is a friend of mine, he went to the house, he told me this story. And as you know, the sunnah in Islam is that when someone's on their deathbed, we sit by them and we tell them to expect good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We increase their love and their expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we tell them, you know, you've done good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you for everything that you've done. You know, Allah azza wa jalla is going to prepare for you. We want to increase their hopes. This is the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was trying to do this with this woman, and she's a woman from our community. She would, you know, come to the masjid time to time. Her family is Muslim, she's Muslim. And he's telling her, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of his servants. And she said to him, I've never seen anything good from Allah. And then she died. And so this is a sign of the opposite. The person does not have the connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, and is not able to even think good of Allah Azza wa Jal, and is not able to even say words of praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His protection from that. But in order for us to protect ourselves, especially in those moments where we want to be remembering Allah and thinking good about Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to be working at this throughout our lives. Constantly thinking about Allah Azza wa Jal, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly on our tongues, constantly thinking good about Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah Azza wa Jal will protect us and help us, and that He will be there for us when we turn to Him, when we try to get closer to Him, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will come even closer to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who remember Him often. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who mention His name and say la ilaha illallah in our last words. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.